Welcome to the Simon Whistler Show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We just got right into it. We were having a bit of conversation off the air, and I thought this would be a good conversation to have on the air. So here we are. This is the show where, well, curious minds meet. I've been thinking about... That sucks, doesn't
Every
it?
Every single one Does is different.
I don't know.
I know.
We are going to hit it. We're going to get it, and it's going to be like, this is the one.
Dude, I'm working on different ones. So I don't have notes about
it. You've got your notes today.
These are some things that I want to talk about that aren't in the main notes section. I've been trying to think up one. So, like, the one I came up with first when we first started meeting was, what was it?
We have fun with facts.
Which I think was pretty shite, and I just thought about it because of Big Bang Theory. Have you seen Big Bang Theory?
Have I seen Big Bang? Yes, I've seen Big Bang Theory.
I have mixed feelings about Big Bang Theory. Okay.
very mixed.
Talk about Big Bang Theory. But now we're already getting deep into it. Because he has fun with flags, right?
He does have fun
with
facts.
And I thought fun with facts, but then that kind of sucks. So I thought the Simon Whistler Show, the podcast for curious minds. Ooh. Does it sound really corporate, though?
It sounds a bit like you... create Rubik's cubes or something like that. It's a bit of a
or do
a
those puzzles, you
bit
know,
of a
where
salesy
you've
line. I think. Whereas
it's true, it's corporate.
Hang on, corporate.
I had this problem with. I do a channel called Business Blaze, which is sort of like business facts but mixed with comedy. And at first, it was just going to be business facts, and then I was like, I want to make this a bit more like personal and stuff. So I started this channel, and we're like, have you seen Business Blaze at all?
Yes.
No, that's okay. Don't worry. We do a podcast again. I don't expect you to watch all of the shit that I make. I make like 20 some videos.
Of channels.
Yeah, exactly. But Business Blaze is basically, if you want to check it out, I'll link to it below, dear listeners and viewers. It's basically, I stand up there and I read a script and then I comment about it and hope that I'm being funny with mixed results. And
brave.
So I started this and it had the most... I went onto Fiverr where I always go for like my animation work, and I had the logo turned into an animation, and it was like... Doo, 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 and it was like super corporate-y. Because at first the channel was going to be without the jokes.
Okay,
you know, like
okay,
the rest
yeah,
of my
yeah, it's going to be a serious... Yeah.
And so it was like this comedy thing, and I'd make jokes like one of them starts where it's like, I just cooked my dick. Like, it was, you'd have to watch the video to get the joke because it is really specific. And then this really, I love the little, and then this really like corporate intro rolls. I'm like, okay, this doesn't work. So we had to change it.
Oh, God.
I don't know where we were or what we're talking about. We'll find a tagline.
We'll get there. We'll just have to roll things off. Where facts fly. Where release your mind into the...
You know what the cool thing is?
Then it gets a bit yogi-y, doesn't it? A bit yogi.
Dude, everything sounds so cheesy.
Cheesy.
Have you ever... So this is something that every marketing manual and every branding thing and every consultant that I work with will tell you to come up with. It's like, you got to have a name for your fans.
Oh, God.
You know, like PewDiePie has the bros. Oh, I got to talk about PewDiePie. I was in a PewDiePie video.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Bieber had the Beliebers.
It's all awful. Tom Hiddleston, isn't he just an actor?
Tom Hiddleston has the Hiddle Knobs or something.
Why does he have a name for his fans?
Oh, because they've named themselves. They're like all sort of creepy middle-aged women. Sorry.
That's okay. It's Tom Hiddleston.
He's kind of got that crowd, you know.
He's an incredibly good-looking man.
But he kind of
isn't he going to be the new James Bond?
No, I think that was a myth.
Oh, that sucks. I thought he'd be a good James Bond.
Yeah, no, I think what's happening what's his name? Who's the current Bond? The blonde one.
Craig.
Daniel Craig is doing a final Bond, and apparently, I'm just going from what I've seen in the trailer, but it looks as if they're replacing 007. So not James Bond, but 007 with a lady.
This is very 2019, isn't it?
It is very,
I'm all for diversity. I really, like, that sounds...
That's put us in a really bad light.
Yeah.
I know exactly where you're coming from.
Because, there's like the thing. I'm not a racist, but it's like that, you know, that thing that comes before the thing that's not appropriate.
Yeah, anything before but doesn't count.
I'm like, I don't know if this is controversial, but all I think is why do we need to use the Bond franchise to further this when plenty of movies stand on their own with leading women? I don't feel that women need Bond to succeed in movies.
I would agree. Like my one, and like again, I'm all for it, all for diversity, everything like that. It's just my one big problem with this particular argument is James Bond is a middle-aged fat Scottish man. You know, like that's maybe not fat, but he's a heavy drinking Scottish man in the
Wait,
books.
Why is, he Scottish in the books?
Scottish.
I didn't even know that.
He's written in the books as like a middle-aged drinking man. You know, and if anyone was to go and write even look into the old days like Murder She Wrote or anything like that, it's a woman, and because they wrote a strong, good character for a woman, and like it's. I'm all for that. Go for it. But I agree. I don't think Bond needs this diversity. Bond is what Bond is, and it's great that it's moving forward into 2019.
Anyway, the way we got here was coming up with names for stuff, and Hiddleston and his Hiddleites or whatever. I don't know. And so everyone's like, come up with a name for your fan base. I find it the most cringy thing, and I hate the idea of it.
What would you call them?
This is, dude, it's terrible. I don't even know. I've been doing this on YouTube for 5 years now, and I just still don't like it.
The whistle tones.
The whistle tones. See, it's all terrible. Let's talk about these four things, the four chords. I saw a video a while ago. Yeah, four chords, 37 songs on guitar. And basically, it's the idea that these four chords make up every popular song that you listen to. And then you could just play, you must know this, you play guitar.
This is true. This is completely true. So basically, there are four chords on a neck of a guitar that you can play at least the verse or chorus of pretty much every single hit song that's in the charts at that time. It's unbelievable. Like it's because they just got this sort of rhythmic oomph to them, you know? There's no more musical word to describe it than oomph.
It is weird. I mean, I picked up an acoustic guitar to start playing 6 years ago, didn't go anywhere, but I was amazed by how quickly I could learn stuff, because you'd be like, and I'm not a good musician at all. I used to learn piano. I learned for 7 years and I'm still shite. I picked up a guitar, you learn a few chords, and then you're like, oh wow, I know the entire intro of this song. And then you're like, you look up another song and it's like, oh well, two of these chords are from the previous one, and then your hand moves this to do like the da 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 da. And it's just because you've listened to the song many times, you're kind of just like, oh, I know how this goes.
Oh, ding, ding,
and you're like, wow, playing a piano, you can't just be like, oh, I know how this goes.
Disagree.
Disagree.
Well, disagree.
You can learn the chords and stuff, but
I disagree because on a guitar, it's all sort of hidden. Like a guitar is basically six pianos laid out on top of each other. And that's basically it's a more sort of hidden pathway. Whereas the piano is all out in front of you. You can see if you know the notes. If you know music, then a piano is probably the clearer instrument to play on.
I guess. However,
I do agree with
you
completely. If you know music.
I think guitar is easier to pick up. You could pick up a guitar and play something passable in a day.
In a day, yeah.
I don't think you could do that with a piano.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, because you also, I don't know, when you first start, you're like, da, 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 and then you realize, oh, I can press these keys at different hardnesses. And then you could like put some feeling into it, which is when it becomes actually enjoyable. We don't have to watch this or whatever. I just wanted to see, I think we've covered this enough. We don't have to watch any of these videos. I was in a PewDiePie video.
How did that go? How is PewDiePie?
He's good.
Didn't he buy a house in moved somewhere, didn't he? Japan, I think.
I found out he lives in Brighton, I believe.
Brighton?
In the UK.
In the UK? In the
Weird,
UK?
Right? Yeah,
no.
he's Swedish.
A great city, actually. I really like Brighton. I have to say, I went to Brighton for the first time in my life when I was 24, accidentally on Gay Pride. For those that don't know,
Brighton's
Brighton
quite
is
gay.
The gay capital of the UK. And I absolutely didn't know. We were taking some friends for a trip and they wanted to go to the seaside. And we went there and got an amazing fish and chips right on the front. And then suddenly the parade came and it was like, oh, is it that day? Yeah. All right.
Great. Every day. It's right.
The tickets were extremely cheap and now I know why. So
he had a house in, he has a house, he lives in Brighton. He has a house in Japan as well, which was recently robbed, which was in the, which is probably why it's lurking around in your brain because it was in the press
in
recently.
Japan.
Yeah, yeah. You don't
Not
forget,
a big
he's
robbing a, place.
I don't know enough about criminality in Japan.
Me neither, actually. No,
but I know there's not a lot of gun crime because they're extremely harsh on guns, but I don't know about the rest of it. So here's this. It's like, yeah, PewDiePie's mega rich. Don't forget, he has houses in other countries and stuff. He had a video where he was like, it wasn't super flattering because he was like calling out things that YouTubers do. And one of them was put questions in the title. And he's like, he's searching for like questions in the title. And he's like, oh, this guy, questions in the title. He's like, I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. And he's like, who's this guy? Budget Vsauce. I was like, you know Vsauce? There's a guy who also does educational videos, like an OG YouTuber, Michael Stevens, who's this Vsauce guy. He's pretty famous.
Okay, makes okay, yeah,
really,
yeah,
really, really good stuff. And he was just like, Budget Vsauce. It was like a 2-second mention. Mm. But I was like, that's cool, because I follow PewDiePie for a long time, and he's the biggest YouTuber in the world by far.
That's quite cool, actually. I've got to say, that's your moment of real fame.
Yeah, someone hit me up on Twitter, and then that tweet became probably my most liked tweet. It got like 3,000 likes or something, which is probably the highest.
Twitter storm.
It was intense. It was cool.
You went viral again.
Again. So that was pretty fun. But a friend of mine, the guy Fonseca, who we were talking about before we started recording today, who I do the Visual Politics channel with, he met him in London like 3 months ago.
Normal guy, or is he?
No, he seems. I don't know. They met briefly. They had like a dinner with some execs from YouTube, like some a few of them.
Caviar and lobster.
I'm sure I exactly what it was like. And so he met him and he sent me a picture. And I was like, wow, that's extremely cool, because I'm a bit of a fan.
How old's PewDiePie? Must be.
It's probably 30, your age, I think. He's a couple of years younger than me. Okay. He started early, though.
Did he? No. Yeah. What did he do? I don't remember. Gaming, wasn't he? It was gamer.
Gaming at first, and now kind of just comedy and just commentary. Stuff. It's pretty great.
Nice.
How do you want to do this? I feel we could get into one of the main topics today, because I feel we've already covered a few little things.
Yeah.
And then I've got some other things, just like personal stuff and things I wanted to talk about, like that.
Beautiful.
PewDiePie
I'll tell you what, let's give the people what they came for. Let's give them some facts, and then we can maybe throw in a small little conversation starter.
All right, man. In that case, I want to talk about outsourcing your job to China.
Oh my goodness.
Load up that CNN article. So there's this dude, and I mean, I'd heard about these before on Reddit, where people kind of, you know, they end up at companies and they're not really sure what they do because, you know, there was a corporate reshuffling and this sort of stuff. I'll talk a bit more about this in a minute. But basically, there's this ordinary dude. He's working for this tech company in the US, and he essentially just finds some dude in China who will do all of the programming for him. And I think in my mind, I was like, Is it working? Yeah, it's working.
Yeah, it's working. We've got this little thing at the
top.
So many pop-ups.
I really feel like I'm in two minds about this, installing an ad blocker, because it would make this a whole lot better. And also, like, I make a living from ads.
I was going to say, I'm also a marketer, so that's pretty hypocritical.
I definitely have an ad. I mean, I'd use no ad blockers.
No, right?
None
no,
whatsoever.
No. What's an ad blocker?
I thought this must be some dude, young dude, right, who works for a tech company, and he's like, all right, I could do this. No, this guy's like a lifetime loyal middle-aged suit wearing exec, not exec, but like, you know, in the company for a long time.
Here's the description. Bob was an inoffensive and quiet programmer in his mid-40s, according to the employer profile, with a relatively long tenure with the company, and someone you wouldn't look twice at in an elevator, which is both kind and terrible.
Yeah, it's just average dude.
Joe.
There's a guy later on who is much younger and kind of who you imagine in your mind when you think of a story like this. Anyway, so he outsources it, and basically the company found out. It went on for years. The company found out because they thought that they were doing a project. It doesn't actually mention it in the article. I found it on a different one.
Okay.
That the company he works for was doing work for the US DOD, like the Department of Defense.
What?
And so they had like an extra security audit.
Chinese person.
Right. So they did a security audit on the data that was coming in and out. Because if you're programming like a missile or whatever for the DOD, it's like there's going to be like some checks.
Yeah.
So after years, there's this high security project, and like someone keeps logging in from China, really surreptitiously, using what was it called? It was called like an RSA key or something.
Okay.
RSA token.
Oh yeah.
Which apparently is some physical device you use to, you know, when you check your internet banking,
like a dongle.
Right. I now use apps on the phones, but I remember when internet banking first came out, you get this device that they'd send you through the mail that looked like a weird calculator. Did you ever have one of these?
No, I didn't know.
Okay, so you'd get this, and then you'd press a button. It would generate a number that you'd need to put in when you log into your internet banking.
All right.
Which was like, what? It was ridiculous.
Well, because even now, you do still have to generate RSA keys, but they're all done through apps.
That's, okay. Well, you knew. Yeah. There you go. okay, well, this was when they, pre-app, I guess. He FedExed this RSA key to the outsourced guy that it hired in China.
In China.
Right. So it sends it all the way over there. And so the details of it was, essentially, he was getting paid like a six-figure salary. So he's like, dude, programmers make a ton of money.
Oh, a ton of money. Like lot of money. Yeah, God, it's one of those things that if you go into a boot camp, which might cost you however many thousands of dollars.
But then you get a job afterwards.
No, you get a job afterwards. There's a massive demand for programmers and they are really highly paid.
I got a few friends who work in that industry and not as programmers. One's an exec, one's like also an exec. And they live here in Prague. They work for American companies, but they're based here, like running development teams and things like this. I'm not really sure. It's very confusing. They were saying like they are from Seattle and this kind of like place. And like a developer will leave university, having, decent university, whatever, start at six figures.
Yeah.
I'm like, what sort of job? I remember when I was at university and I wanted to be an investment banker because I was like, that's where the money is. Right. And this was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. An investment banker at Goldman Sachs would pull in 35K and another 35 on bonuses. So maybe you were getting to 100K.
But this was
an investment banker at Goldman Sachs working 100 hours a week in the highest paid entry level job in London.
Yeah, that's not worth it. Not worth the effort. If you can go and learn code.
I'm not making an argument about whether it's worth it or not, because I'm sure these programmers also work insane hours and it's really tricky work. I thought it would be worth it. I'm not smart enough. I thought it would be worth it. And I'll be like, yeah, I'll definitely get into this. I could, sacrifice a few years. But it's just how much more programmers make in the States and how much more money people make in the States in general these days, because I don't think it used to be like that, but it's got those entry-level salaries and exec salaries have got crazy.
The thing is, code has got really clever. Like, so there was a long period where people were sort of learning to code and they were doing sort of like HTML and sort of building websites and stuff like that. Now, in order for companies to be at the front, they need to be like the best. Like, have all the best graphics, have the best ads and the best this, that, and the other. And for that, you need the best coders.
But they pay
people because you're gonna make the company millions, and that ultimately is what it is. Like,
I just got the feeling this was like entry level. You go to a decent university, not necessarily Ivy League, and boom, 100K.
I don't even think you need to go to university to learn to code. People do like sort of three months
the
boot camps and stuff like that, and then they go and get $100,000 a month. It's crazy.
A month? No, a year. No one's making 1.2 a year out of a three-month coding boot camp. Supply and demand doesn't just says no, Sam.
Maybe I'm wrong.
100K a month.
Sorry, 100K a year. That's what I meant.
That's believable.
Yeah, that's believable. But no,
I'm sure some coders make 100K a month, but you're like 10 years in at Facebook or something.
Yeah, fair enough.
So this guy outsources it. He's got a six-figure salary. It was like 150K or whatever. And he outsources, he pays a fifth of it to this dude in China just to do it. And then he does nothing. Jump down this page. Sure.
I think this is genius, actually. This is, for me, the best entrepreneurial genius ever. You know, it's like...
Stop. Just go up to here. I want to talk about his day.
Okay.
So this dude... go up, because it says a forensic image of Bob's workstation. So the investigation revealed this. This isn't just some dude being like, yeah, that's what Bob did all day. 9 a.m., get to work, surf Reddit, watch cat videos. 11:30 a.m., lunch. I guess he was bored.
Bored.
11:30 a.m. early for lunch.
He got there at 9.
Until 1 a.m. An hour and a half of lunch when he does eBay for an hour. Then from 2 p.m. he does Facebook and LinkedIn. And then at 4:30 he sends an end of day email update to management. And at 5 p.m. he goes home. So this guy...
What was he doing on LinkedIn? He definitely wasn't looking for another job, I'll tell you that much.
He was probably hiring people out of China.
Yeah.
He was like, hi, looking for someone. Discreet professional. and he was really good at his job. People praised him. They said he could have been one of the best coders in the building. Yeah.
Well, good old Chinaman. I mean, that's like, I'm in two minds about this, because I sort of feel that where I understand he was working for the DOD, this is definitely not a job he should be outsourcing. I kind of feel like Sometimes you can't do a particular job and it needs outsourcing. And if it needs outsourcing, then that's not a problem. However, he didn't exactly like refill his day with useful activities. He could have been a bit more productive on that end. But
I feel he would have been. It's the difference between like the good employee would be like, hey, we can outsource this to China and I'll do other stuff all day for you guys.
Yeah.
But he's gonna be like, yeah, or I could not. Because I think there's a point where you're like, oh, you know, I'm in my mid-40s. It's okay. I could just chill. Although, I mean, this is probably going to be quite difficult to get another job now, right? He's probably not going to get a great reference.
Well, I don't suppose you're really going to mention it, are you?
Well, dude, you're going to go to an interview at another job and someone's going to be like, all right, so I need to contact your former employer of 6 years.
Or you just say... I was in prison? I was on a sabbatical?
I was on a six-year sabbatical.
Six-year coding sabbatical.
All I remember from university and like careers counselling or whatever, which obviously did me a great lot of good. I say that sarcastically.
You've ended up on the other side, so that's fine. Yeah.
I do. And like as sarcastic as I am, I do think careers counsellors are absolutely super useful because they can help you think things through as a kid that you wouldn't think. And not important. Discussion for another day.
I nearly signed up to the RAF when I was younger. Thanks to
you
my...
Did?
Yeah, very, very close. I like, had the paper and everything and was like, oh, due to my very pushy careers counselling. So
wait, your careers counsellor at school wanted you to join the military?
No, I wanted to join the military, but they nearly signed me up at 16. I was very...
You can sign up to the military at 16?
You can't now, but you could when I was young.
Wow.
Back in the day.
What? As like a...
Going into like pilot training. Like that was...
Oh, okay. So not to just go to war.
Not to be like a bitch, you know.
Would
like,
you go to officer training school?
It would have been an option. The option would have been to go through university with the RAF sponsoring me through it. So, yeah. And then I would have continued on to become a pilot.
I knew a couple of guys from school. Were you in the cadets at school?
Did we discuss this?
You were?
Yeah. RAF I used to go fly. And
I was in the Navy
like
cadets.
Used to go boating
on Wednesday afternoons. It was nice.
Did you? Yeah.
Learned to sail.
Oh, very good.
Badly. I can't sail now.
You're from near the seaside, aren't you?
It's about an hour. Yeah.
That's right. So you could all get there.
We'd jump in a school minibus. They'd take us up. We'd get some little toppers out or lasers out and we'd go sailing.
You'd all get really cold.
Oh my God, it was so cold.
The UK is really bloody cold in the water.
And then you've got the dilemma. It's like, do I piss in my wetsuit?
Not in a borrowed one.
Oh, yeah. What?
Was it yours?
Only in a borrowed one, dude. I'm not pissing in my own wetsuit.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. I used to be a diving instructor, but you knew someone had pissed in their suit. When as soon as you were washing it out, you're going, oh, this smells bad. This is
bad.
Not good.
It's not good. As long as just the most important lesson, don't piss in a dry suit.
Yes. Oh. Rash o'clock.
Yeah, not a good time.
Not good.
You want to open up that... Go back to the document. There's a second one because this is amazing. I feel sometimes Reddit just delivers better than any news site can because this is just absolutely glorious. Let's have a look.
Well, do you know what amazes me with Reddit is some of the quality of writing.
It's really good.
You think like some people just have nothing to do but they come out with amazing.
They probably outsourced their jobs to China.
Right.
So
what's
the title of this post? I can't believe it's only got 189 upvotes. But the title is "I don't do shit at work."
Nice.
I just read this until we get bored.
Yeah.
Let me say right up front that if any of this comes across as gloating, that's not how I mean it at all. I'm simply exhausting everything I can to combat boredom and get to 5 o'clock. I can't pinpoint exactly when it happened. There was a time when my job was chaotic. Ad sets were large and I was working on them constantly. There were some nights around holidays when I was getting in at 7 a.m. and staying until 9 or 10 a.m. at night. Co-workers were funny. I didn't love the job, but it was not boring. And it wasn't too easy. Reorganizations happened. My responsibilities changed or compartmentalized. People left. New people came. There isn't any one thing I can point to or moment I remember, but gradually, over time, I slowly reached a point of not doing shit. It started with dwindling work, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes on to say, he just goes to the gym at work every day.
If it's a busy day, I have 60 minutes of work, which I can finish by 8:30. After going to the bathroom and coffee and my rotation of websites, I will check 500 other times that day.
It's pretty great,
but,
right?
It's kind of great, and it's also horrible. Can you imagine having a job where you do nothing?
The closest I came to this... Do you hear that humming in your earphones, by the way? Just a quick...
Slightly, like a...
Okay, we could probably filter it out later, or maybe it's not being recorded at all. slightly concerning. Never mind.
Is it this note?
That's the note. Yeah, nailed it.
I think, yeah, I'm not sure. No, I can't.
So, where were we? So, yeah, there's this dude. The closest I came to having a job where I did nothing was I worked in a newsagent's when I must have best been like in between university.
Okay, yeah.
And it was a small newsagent's. It was busy, like in the morning, commuters would come in and buy their papers. But it'd be, you know,
after school, 16-year-olds would come in and try and buy beer.
And steal shit, yeah. So it's like, guys, stop stealing stuff. Come on, stop stealing things. You're 17 years old.
It's
come
worth
on.
20p. Yeah. Come on. Stop stealing the curly whirlies, man.
It wasn't too bad. It was an all right job. But for most of the day, it was pretty empty. So I just read the papers back to front. Or every day, just sit behind the counter. Someone would come in and be like, hi. And I mean, I was a good employee. Like, everything was immaculate. But it'd be like, okay, so the magazines go on the shelf. You check some off stuff. You put some stuff in the fridge. You're like, the store was, everything was lined up perfectly. And then it's like, now I've got 6 hours to kill.
There's only so much you can do. Like, that's, I think that is sort of the problem with those sorts of jobs. I mean, it must be, like, for people that own these shops, it must be sort of, I think you have to get into a state of mind where you're kind of like, right, I maintain the house and then I hold down the fort. And like, you kind of got to just have it in your mind that I'm in place now. Because I think you would go a little bit mad. I'm not sure. Like, if there's any newsagent owners listening, like, I'd like to know.
The guy who ran it, he was a businessman. So yeah. I think it was like, and he would sometimes work a shift.
Which is
there.
Why you worked there,
right? Which is why you employ like a 19-year-old kid to work in the store while you're off trying to start another newsagent or working on another business, because it's like, you are a businessman. He wasn't like, he bought a newsagent and that was like his life. It was just, yeah, that's what
it was a business investment.
Yeah, and I respect that. Oh, I think that's cool. If you want to, you know,
very good.
I had to go in at 5:30 every morning and I live 10 minutes away. So I'd go in at 5:30, I'd have all these papers to sort and put on the shelves and all that stuff. And I don't know, that's okay when you're 19 and 20 or whatever. But if that was my business and I'd bought that business and I was like, oh shit, and you know, and he'd have to do it sometimes, like if I wasn't there or there wasn't, you know, the other person who worked there or anything like that. It's like, dude, if I'm like 40 years old and doing that, I'd be like, this kind of sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not making you a fortune. And getting up at 5:30 is kind of painful.
Yeah, 5:30 is early. Like,
especially when you've got all the risks. Like, running a business is, you know,
it's ballsy.
Yeah, because you're not getting a steady paycheck every month. If you don't make money, you don't make money. I don't know. It doesn't seem worth it to me. Anyway.
No, because I once held a job which I can only say is comparable in no real way to war, in that it was sort of, it was an on the table.
Wait, is comparable to war or is not?
I was going to compare it to war, and then I kind of like put them up on a scale next to each other and went, it's not really comparable to war. But in the
I'm
fact
just trying to think things comparable to war. Military contracting.
It definitely wasn't that, but I outsourced that to China. But no, it was basically sales off of a table. You'd have to get there at 8, you'd have to get to like a table. So we'd take a table with gifts and things like that that we were selling,
selling
on the run up to Christmas. Sometimes it was like Stompy, the Stompy, what are they called, slippers, the ones that you step on and the mouth goes up like that, for kids. Sometimes it was power banks and things like that. It was, I'm gonna say, a bit of a dodgy deal, but it was all good stuff. It all worked and everything, but I'm not sure it was.
Did you have a license to set up the stand and
I
stuff?
Think the dude did, the owner. Okay. Did I hope. Okay. But he paid me and I needed money, so it was all like sort of above table on my end.
Did you have to shout like, get your slippers here, get your jumpy weird slippers?
A little bit, yeah. Hey. It was that sort of thing. But basically, what it was is that you'd set up in the morning in, say, a shopping center or something like that, and no one goes to a shopping center in the morning. So you just stand for 7 hours until 6 o'clock when everyone is in the shopping center.
Was it a nice shopping center or a terrible?
It depended. You'd rotate because you didn't want to be look too dodgy being on one corner the whole time. And
well, no, I mean like the shopping center, because I feel there are two types of shopping centers in the UK. There are ones that are nice, like out of town shopping centers
or something like that.
And then there's Blue Water or that the big one in London.
Yeah, the Westfield.
And these are nice. They're nice environments.
Harrods.
There's a nice food court in Harrods. There's that great sandwich place.
There is the famous sandwich place, isn't there?
There's, oh god, that's so incredible.
Yeah. I've never had a sandwich.
Oh god, now I really want a sandwich. So, and then there's also the ones that are kind of in the middle of towns that are really deprived and kind of smell of cigarette smoke, even though smoking was banned in them in like the 1990s.
Hemel Hempstead,
great example.
Luton.
Oh my god, do you remember that Hemel Hempstead tune?
Do you know what I'm from?
Hemel Hempstead, the shopping center, so good to be there, more for you.
I'm amazed I don't remember that, because I'm from Kings Langley, which is a 5-minute drive from Hemel Hempstead, so that's I've grew up
is
around
it,
that.
Oh shit, I might be thinking of something else. It was a shopping center. It was pretty bad.
I'm gonna, if it was really bad, it was Hemel Hempstead. Like Hemel Hempstead, sorry Hemel, is just awful. Like it's the kind of place I walk into every single time I go there, and I do go there quite often because I have to like get things when I'm home, and I'll walk in and I'll just go, nope, go to Watford.
Out. Absolutely out. You want to look at one more? Let's just move on.
Move on. We're moving
on. I'm done with people outsourcing their jobs. Let's move on to this Nixon moon landing deepfake. Right.
I saw you put this here, and I didn't get a chance to look into it. What's going on?
Open up that video. This is so incredible. And we could talk all about deepfakes and stuff. Let's just watch this a little bit. Okay. How long is it? Let's just watch.
46 seconds.
I don't think we'll get claimed on this, so just turn it up. There we go. So this is Richard Nixon for our audio listeners.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace.
Okay, I think that's the crux of it. So just stop it there. I'm not sure why the video has like 20 seconds of blank tape. This is obviously fake. The speech was written. There's a bunch of... I should explain what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, what's going on?
People go to the moon. Nixon delivers a speech. We landed on the moon. Everything was great, you know, addressing the nation. There was also, obviously, if it went wrong, he had his speechwriters write a different speech, which is absolutely available and is chilling.
Wow.
And it's all, you know, public record nowadays and stuff. And... You've probably seen it in... There's a couple of TV shows. It's mentioned in The Man in the High Castle, which I haven't seen. I just looked this up. And there was also a TV show called Timeless, which is a hugely underrated TV show, which I happen to love, where like they do alternate history timelines.
Oh, okay.
And they use the Nixon...
That's an amazing bit of footage to stumble upon if you're writing Timeless and you're trying to do like an alternate history.
Well, hang on. The footage isn't real. The speech was written. It was never delivered. Like, he didn't film it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, dude.
Right,
that is not real.
I missed the whole thing here. All right. God,
yeah,
that's not real.
The speech was written, and then he was like, okay, well, you've got two envelopes. One for success, one for failure. And obviously, he took the success one because, hey, we're on, you know, man on the moon. They came back. But he had this other one, which was, you know, the men who went to the moon are ordained to stay in the moon. And it goes
stay
on
in the
about...
Moon.
It goes on, you stay on the moon, because assuming they would just get stuck there and eventually die. So let's talk about
Which I imagine
this.
At the time was a real possibility. I think they had to have that ready. Didn't they say it was something like 80% probability of failure or something like
that? It was absurd. The Apollo program and the Gemini program before it, incredibly, I think, in Apollo, wasn't it there were just three astronauts killed in a ground fire in the caps? They were doing a simulator. And a fire broke out in the capsule and they couldn't get the door open. So three astronauts died, which I think is why Neil Armstrong got to be the first man on the moon.
Oh, didn't know that. There you go.
But like those were there were only three in the whole program. They sent, 20? No, not 20, like 12 people to the moon?
I think more than that. I think more
than
that.
It's a lot of people.
Five,
to
seven,
the
six,
moon?
Yeah.
It's like over, six flights or whatever? I'm not sure my Apollo history. Apollo 11, 13 didn't succeed. 17 was the last. So 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, six
like,
flights
it is
to the
an
moon.
Amazing feat of like mankind to get to the moon.
Not as amazing as that deepfake. So there's another link there. Load up this second one.
This one, yeah.
So it's deep fakes are basically where you've seen them. They're mentioned in pornography all the time, where it's like someone's face is put onto someone else's body. So, you know, like a Photoshop job from back in the day. But now with video, we're watching it now. I got to log in with my account, so we have premium.
Oh, here we go. We've got another one.
Yeah, better check for people. In a row. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
Skip ad, man. Come on. Skip ad. Let's get going.
Let's do this. Sorry. Here we go.
Oh, so, okay.
Dude, oh my God. Is that Keanu Reeves? Dude, that's Keanu Reeves. Oh my God.
That's crazy.
You need to get his autograph.
No, I'm way too embarrassed. I'm not going to mess
with him. Oh, come on. He'll be the one embarrassed.
He's the nicest guy, dude. Go on. A guy filming on a cell phone, vertical thing. And he goes up to Keanu Reeves.
Mr. Reeves?
What can I do for you guys?
Keanu, right? Is it cool if I maybe get your autograph?
Absolutely. I'd be honored.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, that's a fake face.
Okay.
Picture.
It just happens to have a picture of him. But just pause it.
What's your name?
It's fake. Yeah. Obviously. It does look this one I feel looks a bit fake. There's a whole making of by this incredible channel called Corridor Crew.
Okay.
Which is well worth watching. And this is, 10 million views. And they talk about how they made this. It's incredible. They did an even better one. I'm not sure why I didn't look to that instead.
And how did they make it? Was it
so the way deepfakes
CGI'd
work,
on or?
Yeah, essentially what they do is they get a whole load. They put into a computer tons of images of someone's face from like doing different expressions from all different angles. And then they teach the deepfake computer program to then be able to map that onto someone else's face. So
that
what they'll
is
do here.
Unbelievable.
It's incredibly That's cool.
Magic.
And incredibly scary. There's some great ones with Obama as well. And yeah, dude.
Like for anyone that's in the public eye, like for you, that must be terrifying.
It's kind of scary. Like I'm sure there's technology, you know, that they can use like forensic stuff to detect it. But I mean, it's pretty great. And this does look a bit fake. But they did one with Tom Cruise, which was wildly, wildly impressive.
Oh, I saw the did you see when they did that with Bill Hader on
I don't even know who Bill Hader is.
He's the weird looking one. He's the actor. He's the weird funny one who
bring up a picture of him.
He was in The Office. Bill Hader.
You know, I've seen a few episodes of The Office, but I've never watched it.
He's this guy. This one.
Oh,
very memorable, but no one knows who he is. And they did he was doing impressions on, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel. And he did they used this like CGI face or deep fake software. And you could not tell where it turned into being him and Tom Cruise because they sort of, in their own weird way, look alike. It just looked
so
like he was doing an impression.
Tom Cruise onto him.
Onto him. And so he kind of went and put his teeth forward and everything like that and kind of did an impression. But then they like faked the face onto him. And it was uncanny, like absolutely so close to it. But you didn't know where it had gone back and forward. It was petrifying. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
It's quite terrifying. So in the Keanu Reeves one that we just saw, what they did is they got an actor who was a professional Keanu Reeves impersonator, and then so they had a great starting point. And obviously the voice and stuff, it kind of sounds like someone doing an impression of Keanu Reeves. The Tom Cruise one was better. The guy really did sound like Tom Cruise. And he also looked a bit like Tom Cruise. So yeah, got a really good starting point. But take us back to the Nixon video. Or don't worry if it's not right there.
We'll get
this one is even more impressive because it's fully digitally rendered.
It's old, isn't it? It's
not old, dude. It's all fake. All of this is just digitally rendered.
Hang on.
So just skip ahead.
Hang on. This is completely digitally rendered.
Good evening, my fellow Americans.
No. Yep.
No.
All of this is digitally rendered.
Nice.
So, because normally with a deepfake, they put it onto someone. Just pause it. They put it onto someone else's face. With this, it's fully digitally rendered. Even more impressive, the voice.
Yeah.
Not an impression.
It's not an impression.
They
machine
took,
learning or something.
They machine learned from his resignation speech. If you pull up, I think I linked to it. Yeah. So grab the resignation speech. It's in the document. So pull up that resignation speech. This is what they learned everything from. So you'll see how similar it looks.
Ads.
Are we getting an ad for a dating service?
All right, we go.
Okay, so this is the actual president, Nixon resigns. This is quite a cool video because there's like 5 minutes of it before it starts rolling, so you can hear him like talking to the crew and stuff. But just skip right ahead.
I have spoken. That's it.
Yeah, so they...
All right, here we go. So there's a picture of the White House, and then he's going to give his speech.
Decisions have been made that shaped the history of this nation.
So that's Nixon's resignation speech.
So basically, they just took all the words that he used in his speech and then they machine learned it and just faked it over. That's unbelievable.
Dude, can you imagine how confused historians are going to be? Like, they're going to be like, you know, digital archaeologists digging up this stuff in 100 years, 1,000 years. And they'll be like, wait, did we land on the moon or not? Because there's this one where he's saying we didn't.
Let's be honest. Like, 50 years after it happened, we're already like a whole ton of people are asking that question. Yeah. So it's I think that's going to be one of those like mysteries of the past.
It's pretty intense, right?
It's petrifying. Like, not petrifying, but it is interesting. I always thought that because we are so lost. I wonder if the future generations will have better documentation of our lifetime. Say in.
I think that depends on one really big thing. If our data is readable.
Yeah.
Because in the past, everything, you know, written down in notebooks and stuff, and relatively reasonably in the future, people will be able to decode that and read it.
Mm.
But someone in the future receiving this device, like a laptop or an iPad or whatever, how would you even, if you didn't know how that technology worked because it was lost somehow, like people, we didn't know how to read hieroglyphs.
Yeah.
We just didn't know how. Can you imagine some similar event is lost to history that we forget how to read digital information? Then everything. Just think about you as a person now. What do you really have that is on paper? What do you really have about yourself?
Not much.
Maybe some like weird birth shit for the government that you need. Yeah. Like, it's like birth certificates.
Paperwork stuff.
For like the post office or for the tax office, because they're so old that they still need to print shit out.
digitize it, yeah.
Right, so these are the only records. It's just going to be like, people will look back and be like, wow, the past was
really...
He was poor. The past was really bureaucratic. People just did paperwork for the government. They didn't do anything else. They'd be like, yeah.
But like, because I look at things like, we have, for example, really good documentation of stuff from 500 years ago, from even 1,000 years ago. There's still some really good documentation. I'm just curious as to whether our documentation is as, like, for instance, I don't think I mentioned it on the air. I told you, definitely. But it was a devastating thing. I got married recently.
Devastating thing.
Devastating. That was devastating. No.
Your wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, we didn't have a videographer. We had a photographer, took pictures and stuff like that. But we had a phone. We had an iPhone, which had been blanked off, and we used that as our video camera. And for some reason, it didn't let me take off the passcode. And so I just set it as 1111111111. And 2 months later, like, so we used that, basically passed it around all the people, and everyone filmed their little bits of, like, their little wishes and nice things, telling us how much fun they were having. It was amazing. And get to it a month later, and try to get into the phone, and it locked. And because iPhones are now so encrypted, it deleted everything. Absolutely everything. And my question is one day they're just going to be like an EMP, like an electromagnetic pulse that's just going to blow up and everything's going to disappear.
Absolutely. Another event that could eliminate all that data.
Like, imagine if, for instance, not putting any dangerous ideas in anyone's heads, but say, for instance, an explosion or something happens in a Google data, what are they called? The data centers. Like, how much information is gone after that? Like,
I assume they've got EMP shielding and stuff, I'd like to think, or it's really deep underground.
What if it's an actual physical explosion? What if someone?
There's backups and stuff. Like, if there's a big fire, they'll have that data mirrored off-site somewhere.
Yeah.
And then also, okay, so Google gets blown up. It's like, I have backups of every video I've made.
I don't. I don't have videos, backup videos of my wedding.
That's true. And also, well, in a way, it's very good that that's so secure. Do you remember when...
McAfee was trying to break into the iPhone. Was it McAfee?
Everyone was trying to break into it a while ago. The FBI was trying to break into it because there was a mass shooting and then one of the people was dead and they wanted to get access to the phone and they had like all of the rights to do it and stuff, but they couldn't because they couldn't get past the security.
And Apple said we won't do it.
Mm-hmm. And the FBI were like, oh, okay. Because I think there's something where you can't be forced to reveal. There was something. I mean, it doesn't matter.
I think it was
I think they said they couldn't do it.
Who, Apple? Yeah, no, they did, didn't they? Because there's no back door into Apple systems.
There's no back door to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I put on my conspiracy hat for a moment.
There must be a way in.
I think it's deeper than that, even. I think if I was the FBI That is the story I want to tell. Your phone is secure. Store whatever you like on your phone. Don't worry, Sam. We can't get at it. Really, even if they got in.
Really, we're watching all the time.
Right. Because they want you to think you're safe and secure. They want you to think that, God, I'm sounding like a conspiracy theorist. It's just a thought.
Take that cap off.
If I was in the FBI and I was thinking about how to make people feel comfortable and store all their secret information on their phones, that is how I would do it.
Very good.
I agree.
So you never got into your phone.
Never got into your phone.
You lost
all your data. It's done.
That sucks.
It really does. But hey, what can you do? You know,
that really sucks.
I think most people don't take videos of their wedding anymore, do they?
Dude, also, you're not going to look at it.
Exactly. We got the pictures.
We didn't have a videographer at our wedding last year.
That makes me feel better. There you go.
Yeah.
Did you marry last year?
Yeah.
Yes. Anniversary around the corner.
No, I did. I got married a year and a half ago.
There you go. Okay.
A year last July.
Oh, very good. Congratulations.
The place I got married, it came up for sale.
Did it?
We got married in this big chateau in the south of the country, and I was like, I'm on a real estate mailer from like several real estate places. I'm always like looking. I don't know. I love browsing real estate.
Yeah.
Just. Keeps me motivated to go to work and be like, I could buy a house someday.
Get a house, yeah.
I mean,
some of the chateaus and like old castles here are actually quite affordable.
Okay.
Admittedly.
So I was like, okay. And I had the same thought as well. And I was like, how much is this? it's like $3
million.
$3 million. Yeah. I can't afford that. Okay. But also, it came with like a huge estate and there were way more buildings because it was a big, we had 30 guests sleep there. So it was a, you know, big accommodation building. And it came with all of these outbuildings that I didn't even know existed and other stuff. And it's beautiful. I thought for $3 million.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Well, 2 point something. It was pretty nice.
Because I did look into it here. Basically, here in the Czech Republic and sort of in Central Europe, there's a lot of castles and sort of old rundown castles which are going for really not very much money at all. And
still several hundred thousand.
There'll be several hundred thousand of euros, pounds, whatever. But you, in order for it to become livable, you have to invest a good million.
Okay, let me run something past you. There's a really popular show, I can't remember where it's based. It might be British.
Property Brothers.
Oh no, the Property Brothers. I was one of my many, you know, TV maybes was with, not with the Property Brothers. These are two American guys, right?
Two American guys. The best, I think their advert is the best looking guys in real estate.
That's right. They are good looking. They're, are they twins?
I think they must be.
Yeah. So these guys, they're the producer of that show. Or like that company reached out to me to do something. I don't even, it was like 2 years ago now. But no, I never went anywhere because it's TV. Never goes anywhere.
Sorry, what was your thing you were going to say about castles before I got in with the Property Brothers?
Yes. So there's this, I think it's a British couple who bought like a chateau in France and they renovated on like a TV show. And it's like, you know, typical, you know,
move to the country.
It's
kind
not
of
called
thing,
a documentary TV show. It's called a reality TV show.
Okay, yep. We've both been off for a couple of weeks. This is
I watch a lot of shows about people, you know, I have a pretty ordinary car that I drive. It's not anything exciting, but I watch a lot of car YouTubers and they like get cars and they fix them. I thought what would be an amazing YouTube channel, and I have no idea how the money on this would ever work, but to buy like a big old chateau like somewhere here, like nearby, and then like renovate it to be super awesome. And then make a whole YouTube channel about this and all of this stuff. Because I suck at design, but my wife's really good at it.
That would be amazing. I would watch that 100%. You would? I would. I 100% would. The thing is, this is something that it's kind of upsetting here in the Czech Republic. A lot of these castles were completely like ransacked and everything was stolen from them. It was taken first
not
by
just
the
here,
Nazis
man.
And the communists.
Whole of Europe,
the whole of Europe.
The finances are just, it's crazy because no one can afford to renovate a chateau or whatever. It's tons of work and money,
a lot of work, and also a lot of paperwork as well. Like I don't necessarily know about in Europe, but I know that in the UK, for example, if you touch
anything, permission to do anything,
yeah, so like second grade listed, first grade listed, you can't do anything.
It's the same here. Like I we have an apartment and to change anything on the outside is like, oh yeah, good luck. You will wait a year for approval.
Really?
Minimum.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you hear? Thank God they're bringing in a new law to stop people putting big garish signs outside their shops.
Oh, God.
Thank
it's
God.
So ugly.
Because it's such a beautiful city, but it's above the first floor. Everywhere above where people can advertise is beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so new law coming in. So for those visiting Prague, you'll have that as of, I think it's May 2020.
I didn't know that, but I do like that. Should we shift gears and talk about another topic?
Love to.
If you're listening and you want me to go buy a castle and make a YouTube channel about renovating a castle, let me know. I don't think the finance of that could ever possibly work out, so I probably won't do it.
I think it would be a project of passion, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know the money behind that, man. Because what, you'd need a million to get started.
You'd
I
need
reckon.
A good few million. Maybe you'd get an investor or something like that.
Yeah, an investor.
Like someone that's got the money to spare, and you just he would in the end own 80% of the property or something like that.
You could probably do okay with sponsorships, like products and kitchens and stuff. But I don't
true,
know.
True. You get this fridge, bro.
a million, so you're talking like a few thousand a month in mortgage minimum plus I don't know what, 10K a month in burn just to have a crew
just
work
burn.
In there. Just I don't know.
Just it's, stuff.
Contractors are expensive.
And you really have to feed them as well if they're working full time and things like that. You know?
No, this YouTube channels can't fund this.
All right, let's talk about Sonic Booms.
Is this Sonic Booms? I want to talk about.
Where do you want to go?
It's not Sonic Booms.
Not Sonic Booms.
Oh, unless you want to talk about
Solar
Sonic.
Booms.
Have you got? I don't know anything about Sonic Booms.
Well, it's Solar Booms. Like, this is your thing, isn't it?
It's not even this. It's just the sun is really fucking loud.
Yeah, Solar Booms.
I decided we should probably not swear on this channel because I realize then we'll get demonetized all the time, or it'll be a nightmare for poor Bruno, our producer, to bleep out all of our swearing.
Fucking A, bro.
I know. No, okay, so let's...
No, okay, we'll stop from now.
We'll try and stop. We'll try and stop. Dirty mouth, so... It shouldn't really come as a shock, though, Sam.
Do you know, it is really funny because I... No, sorry, just quickly, just about the swearing. I just want to say that it's funny because you're not the kind of person that I would think of as someone who swears. And then I met you, and I was like, oh, he swears a lot.
Yeah, no, I do swear.
I typically don't swear. I don't know. I swear around you because you swear, and it's kind of my gateway.
It's not a good thing.
We'll try and rein it back a bit. All right, so...
Make it more impactful.
The sun.
Like I say, it shouldn't come as a shock that the sun is really loud. Did you open up that first link there, the boston.com link?
Yes.
So this has some information about... Zoom in on that a little.
Oh, yeah, go.
Okay, so basically, back in 2005... I love this.
Yeah, going back to 2005.
Right, when you come across something like this on the internet and it's just like some random website where there's this really nice little piece of content that looks like, I mean, this website looks like it was built in 2005.
It was.
So it's basically just asking about how much energy does the sun produce and what makes it so stable. The stable bit's not interesting. It's just nuclear fusion. The energy... Well, you know...
Simple.
And it's also not that stable. It's a giant burning ball
explosion.
Of fire in the sky. The numbers in here, I felt... are interesting, but I basically crunched them down into like something a bit more comprehensible because this is like, oh, you know, a trillion nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I came up with. I took some notes on this because it's complicated.
Okay.
The sun, energy produced, right? And this is, we'll get into why, you know, it's really loud because of this. Every second, it's 1 trillion, 1 megaton bombs going off. The energy put out is the equivalent of 1 trillion 1 megaton bombs, which doesn't mean much because 1 trillion is a trillion is 1,000 billion. So it's like 1,000 billion nuclear bombs going off every single second. That's
too much.
And that's a megaton bomb. Jeez. That's 66 trillion Hiroshima bombs every second.
What?
66 trillion. Okay, still, that's very confusing. How about this? This would be in 1 second... The sun has the same amount of energy as a Hiroshima nuclear bomb going off every second since the year 1700.
Ooh.
So if we went back 320 years and set off a nuclear bomb every second for those 320 years, that's how much energy the sun puts out in a single second.
You know, interesting, because that actually is fathomable.
Right, I was...
You put it in a fathomable way.
I didn't understand any of this, and I just needed it to be slightly more fathomable. And you can just crunch the numbers down. And I was like, okay, eventually, if it came out, it's like 7,000 years, it'd be like, okay, well, we say like, you know, really long back. But 320 years is comprehensible. And 1 every second for 320 years, also.
is pretty comprehensible. Yeah,
you're welcome, world.
that's unbelievable. I think, obviously, we see it. It's the little disc in the sky, you know, and everything like that. I don't think we understand how sheltered we are inside of our atmosphere. Like, it's
by the giant vacuum of
just death and despair.
Eight light seconds.
Yeah. It was seven, isn't it? Seven, eight, yeah.
Yeah, and like, if the sun blew up, we'd only find out, you know, if the sun went out, we'd find out. No, I'm 8 minutes, not seconds.
Is it?
I think so, because it's 3 seconds to the, 1.5 seconds to the moon, 3 seconds there and back.
Yes.
I'm not sure. It's definitely like, it might be 7 or 8 minutes. Honestly, don't know. I'm pretty sure. Definitely not seconds. Yeah, we'd find out like 7 minutes later if the sun went out.
I would like to know, if the sun went out, would we in a moment die, or would we in 10 seconds die? Like, is it, or would we for half a day survive in the little incubation of our atmosphere?
Well, let me tell you, Sam, I've got deep scientific knowledge on this, because I once watched an episode of The Outer Limits.
Ooh,
which was okay. A 1990s TV show, and
I feel this is based on fact.
Absolutely based on fact. Fun with facts. They said it was in the episode, they think the sun went supernova. And because it went dark and all this crazy shit started happening, and there was a scientist, and he was like, "Oh, okay." So he thought that the shock wave of the sun exploding would travel like at the speed of sound. Which, now that I'm saying it, that sounds a bit ridiculous, because it would obviously be going much faster. But not the speed of light. Or maybe the sun was expanding at the speed of sound. So they were like, "Oh, we got a few days or what?" Yeah, now that I think about it, this is just, you know.
The sun is supposed to end as a red giant. Not end, but it's going to turn into a red giant, our sun.
And almost swallow us, or are we actually swallowed?
I think we're swallowed. I think we're gone.
I think there was some updated science on that recently, but yeah, oh well, we're screwed either way. You know, we'll have to move.
We're not. We're all right, but like our
oh yeah, we'll be long dead.
We're okay.
We'll be living inside computers. okay, so let's get to the crunch of this. This would be really loud if you could hear it. Really loud. But comprehensibly loud. So, decibels, right? Like how loud something is. They think, they know, that if we could hear that sound here on Earth, where we are, it'd be 125 decibels. So for some context, 120 decibels is you standing 1 meter away from a train blasting its horn.
Okay, I was going to say, it's about a rock concert. 120 decibels, I think, is roughly...
A very, very loud rock
standing
concert.
Standing next to the speaker. Like, yeah. That's about 120.
That's hearing damage very shortly.
Yeah.
So...
Go on,
no, please.
I was just going to say, I wonder how they block that out for astronauts, like, who are doing spacewalks.
Dude, what do you mean? It's a vacuum.
Oh, fucking God, Jesus.
It's not like the atmosphere protects us from all this sound.
Oh, Sam, that was bad.
That's all right. I'm sure I say many stupid things.
It's 8 o'clock in the evening.
It is.
Sorry. Where were we?
Can you imagine, like, why are all the astronauts coming back deaf?
This is a clever show, and I just said that. Damn, that's really bad.
It's all right.
One of my low points. All right.
You know what? This is also fun. There's so many numbers. I had to write them all down. If you were standing 1 meter, so that's 125 decibels. If you were standing 1 meter away from the sun, it would only be 290 decibels.
Really?
Because the scale is logarithmic. So, like, I don't know, a whisper would be like 60 or something like this. And then a rock concert is 120. Obviously, a whisper is not half the loudness of a rock concert. I'm sure these are all screwed up, but it's logarithmic.
Oh, because it's about the waveform.
It just gets really, I don't know, but it's like, if you add one, it's like times 10 or whatever, something
okay,
like
okay,
that. So
okay,
it
like
gets
that,
like really extreme. So, yeah, and this is why. So, it might only be 125 to 290 decibels, but it's 30 quadrillion times louder. So I was like, oh, yeah, it's really loud.
I don't feel there's much living happening up there. I'm not sure that that's a nice place to be. You know, maybe.
Well, you can't hear it even if you're right next to it. It's a vacuum.
I suppose.
Sound can't travel through
a vacuum. Isn't that terrifying?
You could just be standing next to the sun.
Standing
it's
next
completely
to the sun,
quiet.
It's going mad. There's all explosions happening everywhere. There's like a quadrillion Hiroshima bombs exploding, and you hear nothing.
Why those? I love it. You know, you watch, Star Wars, Star Trek, and these things. They're like, pew, pew. It's like, no, there'd be no sound. Like that giant spaceship will blow up, and it's like nothing. No sound. Just, yeah. It's kind of, I feel it even makes it even more creepy. And whenever there's like horror sci-fi stuff, it's always super quiet because it's space. You want a bonus fact?
Yes, bonus fact.
I found out about this on Reddit, and there was another Reddit thread. You know what? Deaf people, when they can hear for the first time because they have, I don't know, like a cochlear implant or whatever. Mm-hmm. One of the things that apparently, you know, they ask them, oh, what most surprised you about being able to hear? The sun doesn't make noise. People were like, they're like you, Sam. They're like, why can't I hear the sun? They really expected that the sun would make some sort of noise.
No.
Because it's so there and ever present, so bright. Like, yeah,
that's unbelievable. I would never have guessed that in a million years. That's really interesting. Wow. Goodness.
That's,
do you know, I once saw a documentary about a blind guy, and it was really interesting because they were asking him to describe shape and like how he thought something would look. And they said, like, can you try and describe to us what you think this would look like? And he said, the problem is I have no concept of what this would look like. Because
can't you feel it, though?
He can feel it, but he doesn't know what anything has. He's never known what anything looks like.
I understand that for color, though. Like,
No. Like, he's never seen anything. He doesn't actually know what it would look
but
like.
I don't know what this book looks like if I'm blind, but I can be like,
you've seen a book. You've touched a book. You've associated it to a book. If you've never seen what a book looks like,
no,
you will
I
know.
Disagree.
You will know
that can't
how
be
it
true.
Feels.
If I'd never seen anything, okay, here you go. Show me an object that I've never seen. You'd bring an object in that I've never seen before, and you'd be like, close your eyes and feel this object. And I'm like, okay, well, it's like this. And I can like build up a picture in my mind of what it's like Batman and his sonar thing.
Yeah.
Am I making sense at all?
I'm not agreeing with that. Like, you can feel the shape.
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is, for us, we have a concept of shape is associated with how something looks.
Shape is associated with how something is.
Well, there's that.
The looking is just how we observe that shape. So blind people use their fingers.
Yes, I suppose. But like, it's he couldn't sort of conceptualize it in the same way that maybe you or I could, because we see something, we know what it looks like. And so if you ask a blind person, what do you think this looks like? They have no idea what the idea of something looking like something is. Like, it's like, yes, the shape is this. I can feel the shape, but I have no idea how this looks if I'm blind, if I've never seen something.
I don't think that's...
Yeah, you see, this is conceptual.
Look, yeah, I see where you're coming from, but
I
still
think...
A blind
man said it. It wasn't me.
No, I don't get what you mean, but it's like, if that was the case... They wouldn't be able to navigate. Look, we're not blind.
We're not blind.
You're obviously saying a blind person did say this, so I'm not disagreeing that a blind person did say this. I'm having real trouble getting my head around this. I get it for color. Like, if someone's like, describe red, you'd be like, oh, it's warm. And it's like, but that's useless.
Well, some people have that what was it called? The synesthesia, where they say, like, describe red.
You know, you can give
happiness.
Yourself synesthesia.
Can you? How?
Okay, so there's only temporarily.
Uh-huh.
But there was a study done where they had a book. They showed it. They gave the book to the participants, and certain words were different colors. So it'd be like, okay, so you'd be reading the book, and it would say, you know, what are we doing?
Something red.
1 meter away from the sun, and meter would be in red. And so every meter would be red, and every when would be green. And then people would read books later, and they'd see the words, even if they weren't in those colors, in those colors temporarily, because they got so used to it. So that's kind of what synesthesia can be.
That's interesting,
because
that kind of, you know, in its own way comments on how we read, doesn't it, really? Because we don't necessarily read every word. So if you know the word is there, then your brain fills the gap.
Our brains are incredible.
Amazing.
So yeah, how are we doing for time?
We've been going an hour.
Have we been going an hour?
We've been going an hour.
Do you want to do one, or do you want to do one next week?
Shall I do one? I'll do one on the next episode.
Okay.
So it's just I feel like we should get out of here. Like, let the people have a breather.
I think we should.
We'll take a breather.
An hour is a long time.
Yeah. And we'll come back with more facts ready to hit you with.
We
facts.
Will. Leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. That would be grand. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave us a like, a comment, subscribe. If you don't like listening to us ramble for an hour, there's also the Highlights channel, where we slice out the best stuff and we present it in a more digestible format. And who doesn't love that? Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm really doing a great positive job of amping up this show to be all it can be. Fun with facts for curious minds.
Well, I like that. That was good.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
I'm at This Is Sam Myers. At This Is Sam Myers on Twitter.
Grands, I'm at Simon Whistler. No, this is just at Simon Whistler. Say hi. If you've got a topic suggestion for us, hit me up on Twitter. I do actually still manage to read almost all of the tweets at me.
You're an active Twitterist. A tweeter.
I got into it a couple of years ago, and I mostly just, I don't really read other people's tweets, which is a bad thing. That people broadcast.
Mm.
But I use it for, like, if people write to me, I'll reply, I'll post something out, and then I'll reply to people who reply to it. Kind of like not proactive Twittering, but reactive Twittering, okay. I suppose.
Nice.
It's pretty fun. It's Good. A nice little space. I tried Instagram, didn't get on with it so well. Mm. Twitter's great. Yeah. We'll be back next week. Oh, let's just wrap this up because it's been going on.
We've been
time.
Tangenting in lots of different directions today.
We have.
It's been good.
We have.
I've enjoyed it.
Sam, a pleasure. See you soon.
See you soon, Simon. See you all.